People to get started. So Niamh, if you can start the recording, please.
Yeah, it started.
Thank you very much. So welcome everybody to the weekly CPS meeting on Friday the 18th of June. We'll have a quick look at our agenda. So it's the regular software status update. Just quick mention of the milestones we achieved this week. Then Niamh and myself will do a quick presentation on the spike into the DMI plugin REST interface and the interaction with NCMP. AOB, we need to agree that there's no meeting next week. Is there anything else that anybody wants to add? If not, we get started with the software status. Thanks, Niamh. Okay, Bruno has been, what's that called again? That testing when you just try things out and just keep testing it. I forget, there's a name for it. Exploratory testing, isn't that what's called? Yeah, I think that's what it's called.
When you broke everything and...
When you break everything, yeah. I think that's called exploratory testing.
Are you talking about monkey testing? Is it
like maybe some people call it that.
I think it's chaos monkey.
Chaos monkey, yeah. There's different terms for it. But I think exploratory testing is a kind of maybe a nicer way of saying it. But it's actually very good. And I think it also comes from your stress testing, that you're discovering some of the bugs and the limitations. So that's why we have a few bugs. I think, are they all being worked on at the moment? It looks like they're all being worked on. So we'll leave it to the people that are working on them once we get them. Oh, sorry, there's one open yet. Very good. Thanks, Niamh. Which is related to one you're probably already working on. Is that correct, Niamh?
Yeah, this is related to 464. So we're looking.
Did you have a closer look at 465 to see if it could be considered a duplicate or not yet?
No, it's not exactly a duplicate.
Okay, so we'll leave it there for now. Okay, then we'll just continue with the normal alphabetical order. Is Aditya on the call? She is.
Yeah, hi all. Okay, so I have put up a work in progress. Work in progress Confluence page related to the integration required with Kafka from CPS core to Kafka and for the consumer from Kafka to CPS temporal. I still have to investigate a bit more regarding as the discussion which we had yesterday regarding the partitions override and if it is topics are auto-generated and things like that. So I have tried contacting Fiagra, waiting for his reply, and will also have a discussion with Renu on that. Then I think, the page would be available for review.
Okay, that's great, Aditya. Thanks very much.
So while reading about this, I also came across something called a Kafka stream. Have we explored that side or it's just an open question to the team. So have we explored that side or we feel that it's not much relevant to us? Yeah.
I'm not sure there's anybody here that knows more about it at this stage than you, Aditya. Maybe there is.
I think Renu and Bruno. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, can you hear me?
Yes, Renu.
Oh, sorry. So what I know about streams is it's like if you want to there is a data processing pipeline. You process for one and then you push it to another. Conceptually, that's I know. But technically, what is the difference between Kafka stream and normal Kafka? I'm not aware of. But stream in general, that's all I know.
So that will be a continuous stream of data that you're reading from which you generate events that probably doesn't apply to us. And I'd reckon at first glance from what I'm hearing.
Yeah, probably not sure if it's applied for it more than when you have processing and the input is Kafka and the output of the process is Kafka to be passed to another process. So it's using Kafka as both input and output for processing data with multiple steps in the processing. That's what the way at least also I understood it, but if I understand correctly. Yeah.
Okay.
Does that answer your question, Aditya?
I was just reading about it. So, I did read that it could be used otherwise also, like from a REST endpoint also, like it's in our case. So when I see the impact that it could get, I don't think it's much because as Renu and Bruno already suggested, when there are streams like input and output both, then I think it would make more relevance. So I think we are okay with the Kafka consumer API, which we're using now. Yeah, thank you. It was just for my informational purpose. Thanks.
Okay, very good. Thanks, everybody. So Bruno.
For this one, so no, yesterday I didn't, I just put back the bug for the concurrent request in progress, but I didn't have a chance to implement yet the change we talk about. So hopefully this afternoon I'll be able to continue on this. So no progress since yesterday on this.
Okay, thanks, Bruno.
And the other one is in review probably for the listener. What I'll do next week, I'll plan for a session to go through the change if it helps to go into the review, or if there are any question, maybe I'll plan a session for that. Yeah,
I think a walkthrough might be good for something like that. Maybe can you record it as well, as I won't be there myself.
Yeah, sure. Okay, yeah, we'll do it.
Thanks, Bruno. Dylan has a few days annual leave, so Joe's next.
Yes, good afternoon, everyone. So I've been asked to take up one of Rahul's tasks, which I've assigned to myself there, but I'm still working on this CPS data. I've had a couple of chats with Adida, and I'm going to try a simpler approach to maybe send a JSON example, but it's proven problematic. So my apologies for how long this is taking. I didn't think it would take this long, to be honest, but I feel like I'm getting close to the end of this now. I did implement the original idea I had with a small change to a test, but the response just wasn't giving me back what I was expecting. So I'm going to have a chat with Adita, I think about 4 o'clock today, just to go over maybe sending the JSON response in its place. So hopefully that'll be a simpler approach and can get this closed up sooner rather than later. Yeah, that's me.
Okay, thanks, Joe. Yeah, no worries. I think it's a bit unexpected for everybody. We kind of missed it. Yeah, we didn't realize as you were defining the output with types that it would have impact on the production code.
That's
okay. Yeah. But you're making progress and you're communicating about it, so that's all good. So
perfect.
Hopefully
thank
it gets
you.
Ordered shortly. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Thanks.
Okay, Mike, how are you?
So today I just made some changes to basically the Jira I'm working on, CPS 425. That Adida mentioned. Basically, I found that I've put it up for review, and when I put it up to Nordix, it built successfully, but it's failed twice now on one of the Jenkins jobs on ONAP. I'm not sure why. I'm wondering if it's one of the variables I took out is actually being used in that test. And so I'm just going over that at the moment.
Yeah. Just double check that. It does build locally for you, yeah?
Yeah, it builds locally. It I can see on that basically when I put up to Nordix, it worked, it built fine. But it fails.
Which job exactly fails?
CPS review verification master Maven. Sorry, Maven master.
That's the normal verify job, is it? That's not.
So there's CPS master verify with success, which was a success, and then this one, which was a failure.
Yeah, no, okay. We'll have to dig in that a little bit deeper and try to get to the root cause of that.
Yeah, I feel like it's probably just one of the environment variables that it uses probably isn't one of the ones I removed because it was being redefined. So I just need to check which one it is, I think.
Yeah, I'm trying to find out which test exactly is failing, which test where, and then we can zoom on that part and see the environment, because it might mean that in the test where we need to change the environment variable that's being used. So it could be that your change is okay, but that you need to make an additional change in the test where. It could be something like that as well.
Yeah.
As opposed to just reverting to the original, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for that, Mike. And then Niamh.
Yeah, for myself, I've been continuing to work on the DMI REST interface. So there's been some internal discussions on that. And we have a wiki page created that we're going to show you guys later. For this bug, I have been looking into it, and I created a page to document the update node leaves limitations. And I'm going to also update the RST with the limitations. And I have pushed something up to Garrett just to update the exception messages. And for this one, CPS 403, the repo is set up. This is just waiting on some subtasks to be closed.
Yeah, there was one subtask left open, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. I think that's withdrawal. Maybe that's been taken over now. We'll have a quick look now. Rahul is next. Thanks, Niamh. We cannot hear you, Rahul. You're still on mute. Yeah.
Yeah. Hello, everyone. Yeah. So I'm working on 463, where I need to investigate the Honeycomb simulator. So I installed it and tried to connect it with SDNC. So yesterday I was on leave, so I'm continuing this work. Except almost all the commits are in review on Garrett. There is one comment from you where I need to change the organization name. For that, I need to, you know, again install everything and need to generate the checksum, accept it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's, yeah. You have to generate the checksum. I kind of knew that. Yeah, that's a bit awkward. Okay.
So that I'll do. I'll suggest that everybody should review that that file, mainly the yang resource.yaml file, because for every comment then I need to change the checksum.
So, yeah. No, that makes sense. Any other updates, Rahul? I just can give an update on your last thing, actually, the 400 that was discussed. So on the 400, sorry, no, it was 415. It was related task to this, which has been closed for the M2 milestone, but 400 itself, the issue with Liquibase is still pending. It was brought up in the TSC meeting, and it's kind of interesting to hear the view from the security experts. They have a very different mindset, very paranoid, but that's their role, and it's good, and it's interesting. So they have some concerns, but Steve Winslow, unfortunately, wasn't in that meeting. So Kenny Paul is reverting back to Steve. And there was a few alternatives proposed, but we don't know if they're viable yet. We had a quick look, but at the moment, we're still not quite sure which way that's going. It might be that the outcome is simply that they will accept this change, but it might not be. It was very hard to say from that meeting. I think it seemed to be like 50-50. It could go either way, what people think. Is there anything else from you, Rahul, on your activities? Sorry, the top one there, would you mind? I think that's the one that Joe was taking over, but Joe is kind of stuck on something else as well.
No, because this Joe, might be, wow. Joe is taking on... creating the AI model for DMI registry.
But this task is exactly similar to 353. So that was the investigation that I did, and 353 is, implementation of that. So I think.
Yeah, I think they became overlapping, and I think you've done it all now in 353. Really, have you?
Yeah, so 352 is mainly the, creating the implementation page and investigation, which I did. And now I have already put the commit against 353. So I am not sure what is left in 352. That is, if, you know, we are able to close 353, then this task is automatically will close after updating everything on the implementation page.
Is 353 a subtask? Maybe open 353 there for a moment in a separate tab. 352, sorry, Niamh. The one that was assigned to Joe, because there might be some confusion there, yeah. Create young model. This actually created, yeah, but I think it got to overlap. Okay, but I think you'll have to open 353 as well. And just compare them, and then maybe we can make a quick decision. Yeah, I think the issue was that the young model is really part of the anchor, isn't it? And therefore the two became combined. Is that correct, Rahul?
Yeah, so in 352, last week we had a discussion that I need to create the anchor also. So I introduced the anchor in my commit. And I think there was three tasks that I need to do, create the anchor, resource, and data space.
And so if we can have a quick look at the commits, which the young model, which commit, sorry, which user story is that referring to?
It is referring to both.
Okay. Right. Okay. You included both, so there's overlap there. Okay. Then maybe we assign that back to Rahul and Niamh, the one that's now assigned to Joe, and we'll look at something else. There seems to be no good separation between those two. So, yeah, we're hoping, Rahul, we're trying to relieve you a bit, especially when Route 6 as well. We're hoping that we could wrap things up. Like the Docker image one, is that something that somebody else can take and make sure it gets pushed?
There's an already commit for that.
Yeah, that is already done. It is just everything, I think, except the STNC task for the honeycomb. Everything is done and it is in
review. Okay, well, then we need to make sure that the gyro is up to date. So if 404 is, can you at least move it to submit it? And if it's merged, it probably should be closed for all. So can you make sure that things are, that gyro is reflecting the state, because otherwise it's kind of hard to track and It looks like that you have quite a few things ongoing, and if you're not really, then we need to be aware of that, because that's the reason why we're trying to spread it a bit.
So this is also submitted.
Yeah, there is. This 353 is just. I suggest that everybody just give your final comments on the Yang model, because every time there is, I even change of a single alphabet, I need to, you know, create the checksum, and it's a lengthy process. So
yeah, now I understand that. And so if then 432 there, which is a subtask for the assurance attributes, what's the status of that?
That is also in review.
Okay, so can we again move that to submit it, and then for the team, make sure that we get these things reviewed. And so the other good news is this week we have now, the process was finalized yesterday. Aditya, Niamh, and Renu are all submitters now. So you can start making sure that the process works. So maybe we get one of these small things over the line today or on Monday. Yeah, it's kind of important that that gets verified as well, that your submit rights are working. So you should be able to give +2. That's the main thing. And to clarify that, for Aditya, Renu, and Niamh, you can give +2. And if you give a +2, anybody else can still merge it. So it's really the +2 rights is what needs to be verified. And hopefully we have a few small commits here that we can process, and then we can make sure that your rights are working.
I am not sure, Toyin, that if a committer gives a +2, then anybody can merge it.
Maybe only the author. Yeah, you could be right. But it doesn't have to be the person that gave +2. I know that.
I think it's only the committers who can merge.
Well, I suppose I am a committer. Yeah, you could be right. Okay. I'm not 100% sure about it. You might be right. I thought if once you got a plus two from a committer, that the author or even somebody else could. It's not so important. We can try that out and we'll find out. It's not such a big deal.
Yeah.
But just for the committers, it is kind of good practice to check with the author if it's okay with them. And sometimes the merge order is relevant, those kind of things. So don't automatically plus two and merge, always check with the author that it's okay to do it there and then. Okay, thanks. So we'll continue with Renu.
For me, the patch is up for review. There are two things which are still open. The first one is that how to connect to Kafka. So in temporal database, right now we are using SASL and SSL. But I checked in the OM Helm charts and DMAP supports SASL plain text or just plain text. So I think default implementation should be one of those, which is there with DMAP. And for SASL plain text, they use AAF, which is their internal, I think, authorization authentication framework. So I was just wondering, like, what should be our default parameters to, which should be there in the application.yaml. We can always override it, but we need to put something there.
I think maybe for the default one, for sure. So we could go with the one that DMAP is using if ever as per the spike or the POC that is going, if ever it's we want to use this way to connect to DMAP Kafka. If you are not depending on DMAP Kafka, yeah, anyway, yeah, the Kafka instance is completely unknown, so yeah, it would be maybe less important if we don't know about the Kafka instance.
So should we, like, what kind of default implementation should you suggest? Because I think SASL, SSL is the best one that we can have, but the default one is, yeah. We need to see what it can be.
Yeah, I think the two that we know that we have now, it's SASL, SSL is the one that, at least for Bell, that's the one for our
OONAP
is using. Yeah, the ONAP is using the ONAP Kafka is using SSL plain text, right? But
yeah.
if ever we are not connecting to this one, because for DMAP, if we are using the REST API at the end, maybe there is no point having the default to a Kafka instance that we are not connecting to. That's why I would say maybe we could postpone this decision to the ongoing spike. I don't know okay. If it makes sense, because the spike
what are you planning to keep as a default in temporal? I'll keep the same so that we are in sync. Are you planning to keep SASL, SSL as default? Then I can keep the same.
I was thinking, why don't we keep those as environment variables? So that you know, like, it is configurable.
Yeah, for sure, it will be configurable, and we should be able to use one or the other. But the question was more for the default one. Let's say if you don't by default, which one could it be? Yeah. Because currently, temporal, the default application configuration is going to
So the configuration.
SSL. Yeah, but should we?
So the problem which I faced was that in the beginning I was I used the same configuration, but so it was introducing some parameters for which the value was expected, but if I so for SSL, there are extra parameters which are configured.
You can leave that as blank, and it would still work.
But when somebody's going to override it, and if they move from SSL to plain text, you have to explicitly override all of that, which I think is not a good experience, because somebody will expect that it's just plain text and they should not do anything else. But they are forced to override those variables because we have defined it in our application.yaml. Otherwise, it will not work.
Yeah, agree with you. So that's why I think for now, temporal is SSL. But I was planning to change if ever we want to leverage the map Kafka. But I didn't do it in advance before knowing. So that's what I had in mind. So if we want to align, we could do the same for core.
I can do the same, but then I will I'll assign the default values to all the variables so that it does not fail. Otherwise, we have to provide those variables everywhere.
So, or you can leave what we are. You can also leave what you have currently for core, and we'll just come back to when we know the answer of the DMAP connectivity. Maybe that's the best. This way,
Maybe Bruno, I will talk to you. Like for me, it was failing. Okay. Maybe there is something else which I'm missing, though. So it's the same issue which I mentioned you yesterday. So we can talk about it. And then we can sync and do that. Second issue, second thing.
Sorry, hold on. Sorry, for a second. So are you concluding to postpone this discussion and get back to it, or are you agreeing on SSL as default?
So default, I don't have any problem with SSL as default. The only thing is that there are environment variables which are causing issues. So because it expects
you need to populate them for SSL then as well. Yes. And are you agreeing now to do that, or you still want to discuss that further?
So I need to discuss that with Bruno, that how can we, you know, make sure that we don't have to override those extra variables. And then whatever is, like, we will stay in sync. Whatever is in CPS temporal, the same should, we will keep it in the core. And once Aditya's spike is done, then we will be able to decide which way to go.
Okay, yeah, and I was just trying to take note of that where we are. Okay, that's fine. Yeah, thanks. And there was another issue.
Yes, Bruno, you were saying something?
No, I was saying that, yeah, and if you have more questions, we can still
in case you're doing the discussion in the morning half, then please include me as well.
Yeah, we'll see if there is some time in the morning. We'll do it in the morning to
else you can just keep me posted on Slack.
The second issue is related to the Docker Compose. So right now we don't have Kafka there right now, so as a default implementation, do we want to keep Kafka there or we don't want to keep it? I have added it, but I have commented it right now because I need to change the README accordingly. Like, what is the default deployment if somebody just run Docker Compose that up? It's disabled right now because we are not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Renu, I was kind of wondering, does this depend on the outcome of the spike that Aditya is doing?
Not really.
Also not affected by that. Okay.
Yeah. The thing is, for our CSITs, we have to decide whether we want to test it with Kafka or we want to test with DMAP implementation.
Okay, so it's only for testing purposes. Okay, yeah.
Yes,
okay.
Only for testing purpose. So by default, do we want to have Kafka deployed? And or we don't want it deployed because by default, the implementation is... because it's going to be disabled by default. So for our CSIT testing, do we want to keep it enabled? Do we want to add some test cases for this scenario in CSIT? So these were the questions that I have related to this.
Yeah, I think I would treat the CISD test separately. So we need to make a decision whether we need CI/CD testing for this, and I think we should actually. That's pretty clear, but I think this Docker Compose, if it's required for the CI/CD testing, I think we're better off creating a separate task for the CI/CD testing for this, and then configure it as needed.
Okay.
So let's keep it separate from what you're doing now.
And I think I asked myself the same question about commenting it, and I think what you did makes sense because by default the notification process is disabled, so by default there is no point having Kafka. If ever even when running Docker Compose locally, you want to enable the you need to change the configuration, then you can change Docker Compose at the same time. So I think and temporal, it's a bit different because temporal is depending anyway on Kafka, so that's why it's enabled by default in Docker Compose. But I think for now, before we think about the integration and CI/CD testing, it's fine to keep it disabled, to keep it commented as you did.
Okay, so maybe I will just add some comments in the README if somebody wants to enable it, so how it can be done. And I will discuss with you and Aditya what to do with the connection with Kafka. So these were the two open items. Apart from that, the patch is ready for review. And
Would you mind creating a task for the CI/CD testing related to this and put in some of the details that we just discussed? Yeah, that's great. Thanks. And if you made it to me, I'll put it in the notes. Yeah. Okay, that's great. Thanks.
I will do that.
Okay, and then we'll move on to Shiva.
Yeah. Hi, guys. So for CPS 393, that's the spike. So the problem that we were encountering with ANDI and it not being able to send DMAP events to DMAP when a PNF was created, that's been now solved. So there's a review up on OOM for that. And once that's integrated, that will solve that problem. But there's another problem with DMAP client that's still ongoing. And that's blocking this spike from going further basically. Because we can't use the DMAP client right now because there's an error that I keep getting. And I've talked to Fiekra as well about it. He's off today and he was off like yesterday, 2 days ago as well. So there's not been any movement on that yet.
Okay. Yeah. A bit worrying to have all those bugs, but we just have to wait what they come back with.
Yeah, it should be quick enough though once they're kind of finished because I have the code ready. It's just really just testing. Once the bug is fixed, it's testing it really. That's it.
It's a bit pity that this Jira board doesn't have a block option. I prefer to have a blocked kind of swim lane, as they call it, I think, but that's not possible in this Jira.
Yeah. For the two bugs there, I've both of them have commits up and they're both in review. Just address there was a lot of comments on the 467, the missing license info in POM, but that's changed to missing license info in basically every file that we have there that doesn't have any license. So I've answered, Bruno, I've answered your question there. So no liquid-based changes. I just tested out myself there after I saw your comment, and it doesn't seem to impact anything. So having comments in there doesn't seem to impact the liquid base changes, basically. The change set, sorry. And then for the CPS run model, updating that, there's some comments on it. I've asked questions on that comment. So if the team could look at that and just let me know what they think, then we can move that forward, yeah.
Okay, yeah, it looks like the license one is then almost completed. I think Bruno's there was the last comment. So hopefully that can be merged soon enough then as well. Do you have any questions on that, Bruno, on the liquid base thing, or does that sound okay to you?
For the license, if adding the license, if it doesn't break this one, I'm okay. I think I didn't come back yet to the run model. This one probably. Let me. I'll have to go come back. I think.
Yeah, that's no problem. I just have, because like it was Yutuan and Bruno that kind of gave comments there. So I just replied to you guys.
I think I gave you plus one this morning or just a little while ago. Mm-hmm. So I think I'm okay. And if Bruno's okay, then we can move that one forward.
For the young model, let me go back and have a look quickly to this one.
No problem.
CPS 451, right? Okay.
451. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Perfect. Yeah, that's it for me.
Yep. Yeah, just for everyone, keep using the Slack channel if you're waiting for reviews. Like, don't think you overdo it. You can ask again and again if something needs to be reviewed. If you have an update and you're waiting on people to just say it, listen, I've updated this on the Slack channel and looking for new comments. Actually, would you mind click on the backlog for me, Niamh? Because I wanted to make it quick. So I've closed yesterday. I closed all the M2 related tasks. But I just want to ask the team, when you create new tasks, make sure that they're, because I know depending on the, you can filter it for me, Niamh, sorry, yeah. Because that's what I want to highlight. Depending on which component you use, I've been trying to set up Jira correctly for this, but for some reason it doesn't work 100%. And I still get assigned automatically to anything that's not set up correctly. And then I get all these tasks that are assigned to me. So just check when you create something that the assigned to column is set to unassigned, unless it's agreed already to assign it to somebody, of course. But otherwise I get all these things assigned to me and it's not really reflecting reality. So just keep an eye on track on that. I'm asking the team when they create Jira's. As I mentioned, I've closed the M2 related task. M2, there was a meeting yesterday with the TC that's been approved with some comments, but in fact, it didn't really have some exceptions, they call it, but that didn't really affect us. We're in a good state to continue and I'll show you the timeline in a second. Apart from that, I'm working with Niamh and Oscar on the interface definition. We're going to show you that in a minute. So these are the open commits. I think that's working okay. Just want to make sure here that all of this has been discussed and make the team aware again that, especially the ones that have plus ones already. Sorry, I'm getting a bad echo. Oh, that's annoying. Other people get involved as well. So we get, once we have enough plus ones, then and everybody's agreeing, we can start merging these things. So keep your eye out and for the committers or the submitters, I should say, keep using the Slack channel if you're looking for updates. But I think everything in here has been discussed. Like all of these, we went through them. So what have we closed this week? Bruno has been working on the release plan with myself as well. That's related to the M2 task. The committer tasks have been committed. I think this doesn't contain all the repos, actually. That might be the problem with this filter. Some people were involved in the handover from Richie, who left us this week. So that's been completed as well, of course. Michael has completed the diagrams for the own-up wiki for the components, and we've got some good feedback from Tony for that for future improvements there. I don't think there's anything too special. The architecture committee review has been completed as well, but we have an item on that. So they're all the standard tasks. I think I need to check this filter, and I've said it before. I thought it was okay this morning, but I think it does not contain all the repos. Quality. Oh, I hadn't actually checked. So we have two code smells. Yeah, this is a bit annoying. This is because the maybe highlight underneath if you see what the code smells are. Okay, this far thing. So Joe, you can see there your fault. This is a new thing they introduced very recently. I'm forcing this rule to use the var option, which has been introduced in Java 9, I think. It's a bit problematic and we're all missing it. We don't see it in the reviews. Nobody's really used to it. You can try to run the SonicQ locally. But it's always good for anybody to have an eye on this sometimes, and maybe and we have that recurring task CPS 89, so whenever you have a free moment,
I'll take care of that.
Do coordinate it, but in this case, yes, since you introduced, it's probably best that you take it, Joe.
We'll
keep this to zero. Okay, thanks. think temporal is still the same. Yeah, no changes there. TBDMT, we're not really working on that, so no changes there. The plugin we have now out as well, which is good. So I, actually, this is the first time I'm seeing it. So everything looks working well and good statistics and even coverage is already 75%, but there's not too much code in it, of course, yet. And that's why the coverage, there's always a bit of, boilerplate code that's hard to cover when you, in the beginning, get a, something like 75%. Okay, that's all looking good, apart from those new code smells. Agreed. We can maybe just open the architecture page. So I don't know if people went to the meeting or seen it. I wasn't there myself actually, but Tony did a good job. And there was some small minor comments and suggestions on the architecture review, which is here, but it's been approved and that's all looking good. So, but these are good diagrams to be aware of. And maybe you want to keep a link to it yourself for reference. It's always good to have this overview. Okay, we'll move on. If you just quickly open the mouth to that links to the release planning. Yeah, I just want to make people aware of the dates. So if you scroll down, you can see the different milestones. So we just passed M2 there as planned on the 17th of June. And now we have till the 26th of August. So it's over 2 months, actually. That's a lot better than Honolulu. Remember Honolulu, we only had a week or so left between these two things. About 9 weeks, but we have the summer holidays, of course. So this is everything we've planned for Istanbul. We're working towards the 26th of August now. So just for people to be aware of that. It looks still a good bit away, but there's a lot of work we need to do. But I'm hopeful we will we'll achieve that unless things like DMAP and Kafka, wasn't working ANI, achieve us took on. But hopefully we get over these things and then we'll get to that date and we'll get to what we can do. If things go very well, we can always Kanban things in that we see. We have a list of priorities in which we have stretch goals. So maybe if some of the stretch things can go in as if things go well. So that's the time plan anyway. So you have a bit of an idea of that. Any questions on any questions on milestones and this stuff, or is it a clear enough picture? If not, we'll move on. And we'll do our presentation. Now it's only 15 minutes left, I see, so we'll probably have to speed it up maybe a little bit, Niamh.
Okay. So this is the wiki to describe the JMI plugin REST interface. So we've had internal discussions on the proposal for this, and we are coming towards finalizing it internally soon, but it is still a bit of a work in progress on the page. So here's just our references. It's important to mention we follow the API design specification created by ONAP. So there's a link to that page here. Here's our issues and decisions. So we discussed all these issues in details and created notes, and we have our decision listed here.
Yeah, see, I forgot to complete number 3 there. That's my mistake, Niamh. I didn't put in the extra decision.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll take that straight after this.
For the DMI URI, we followed basically the same as the NCP REST interface, except we have DMI at the start instead of NCMP. So it's very similar. It just has the DMI version number. Then we have specified the CM handle. Then we say if it's a data operation or DM action, we have a parameter for a data store, the resource path, and the query. So I guess, does anyone have any questions on this or anything they'd like to mention? Okay, I'll move on.
Is VNumber the version number of the API? Is it the one?
Yeah.
Okay, and is it something that we should plan for the other REST interface or do, I'm not sure, do we have it at least, or when we do we don't when we do also the REST interface for temporal?
I think, Niamh, if you open the RESTful API design specification, I think it does mention that there should be a version number, yeah?
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
And it is kind of good practice. Open API will kind of give it to you as well, more or less. Yeah. So I think it is important, Bruno, you should consider that for any REST interface, that you follow that guideline.
Yeah, we also have this in CPS as well. We specify the version. Okay. Then we have this bit on the data store. So if the CM handle and metadata indicates that data is not saved in CPS, then the request is forwarded to the DMI plugin. We have this table also to show the REST conf and netconf operations of the data type and the method that's used for it. So for the REST data API, we have this table with all the use cases and the types of methods and what the URI will look like. This table just basically refers back to the NCMP interface wiki. The same differences apply to the data calls in that table.
Yeah, I just see it there, and I think I had this issue before, Niamh. You see the points of difference there at the top, number two there, and I've seen this before when you start using combination of curly brackets and square brackets. Sometimes conflicts do strange things, and it looks like that second point is gone there. I need to double check that myself.
Yeah, so the second point is the request body for each request will include additional properties.
Yeah, I think it's just the way it's split is not correct. Yeah, it's just, as I said, it's a Confluent formatting issue there. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so this is what it would look like here.
Yeah.
And that will be in the request body. So I don't...
But in general, all these methods reflect similar methods on the NCMP interface.
One question. Sorry to interrupt. Number one, the API for adding the CM handle. While calling this API itself, do we need to send the Yang model? While adding the CM handle, the Yang data needs to be sent. Is it the expectation? Because our understanding is we will just send the node ID in the CM handle. For that node ID, the Yang model needs to be fetched by CPS. So how it should be?
Yeah, here we specify at the Yang data resource.
So I actually think you're talking about two different use cases. This is for the data update. We have further down addition of CM handle.
Okay. What I expect for is the Yang model.
We have a separate interface for the handling of the model, and we have a presentation that's coming up shortly, Ahila. So maybe if you give us a few minutes, then we hopefully clarify your question.
Yeah.
Okay. So the first interface, the first block is all about data. So as the heading says, there's the REST data API, and the next one is the inventory and the model sync API.
If there's no more questions, Ron, would you like to start your presentation?
Yeah. So the second interface is DMI inventory. And before we do that, I'll give a quick overview just to show the mechanism, how it's going to work. Yeah, just if you click there, it's just a simple animation I've created to kind of show how this works. So on the right, you see the DMI plugin, and it's able to get information from the network functions. So what I've drawn here is the DMI plugin that already has two network functions discovered or already knows it, connected to it. And then under the network functions are the young model information that describes those network functions. So then the references there, they're like your module references. So your data space, your name, and the revision of a module. So you can see that the first network function has A comma B version one, then it has A comma C version one, and finally an XY version two. The second network function has almost the same modules. It just has a version two of A comma C. And then the way it works is MCMP has stored this information. It has an inventory table, which it has the names and some additional information for these nodes. And then it has a schema set table that comes from CPS Core, actually. So all this information is stored, but what MCMP does, or CPS Core, it will store the same module only once. And it has a many-to-many relation between these two tables. So what I'm going to show you now is how it works when we add a new node. So if you click there once, Niamh, yeah. So I'm not describing the mechanism, how the node is discovered. It's just what happens when we get a new node. So DMI has a new node here, XNF3, with some modules. And actually, the first module there is actually a new version of a previous existing module. But it is effectively a new module. So the first thing it does, if you click again, is it will send a request, or it will send, it actually posts some information to the NCMP telling it about the new handle. So it tells NCMP there is a new handle. If you click again, then leave. So then NCMP will add that handle to its inventory table. And then if you click again, NCMP will request all the module references of XNF3. So NCMP is kind of in takes over the control now. So it asks the DMI plugin, give me all the references, all the modules in that XNF3, and then the DMI plugin will contact the node and respond with an array of these references. If you click again, so now NCMP has that information, and it will check with its internal data which modules are missing or what are the new modules. And then it finds out in this case there's only one module missing. So if you click again, it says, okay, for XNF3, can you give me the young resource, so the source file of the module A, B version 2, because that's one I didn't know about. And the DMI plugin will respond with the young source for that module. Now, it could be multiple, and under the hood, it will have to make multiple calls and combine the responses. But at a high level, that's the kind of the interaction between the NCMP and the DMI plugin. So yeah, if you click there one more time, it just shows you that it adds that new schema set to the schema set table. So that's at a high level, and we're going to go into the, Niamh will show you the API details coming up, but I thought it was good to kind of show this. So that we all...
One.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, sorry,
Kenny. So, Shankar,
I can't hear.
Oh, while we are waiting for Shankar, do we have a link with the for this presentation, or do we have it in the wiki? Or
it's in the wiki, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Hello, can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Yeah, sorry. I think my headset was playing games with me.
Okay.
It was switching between one device and the other device. When the XNF gets added, at a high level, this information is coming through the DMI plugin. And so essentially the controller has discovered the new XNF, or are we making an assumption that it has been added to ANEI?
There are several options here. We're deliberately, that's not really the scope of this part, what we're discussing here. So I don't want to go into details, but I can give you a brief answer now. We hope that we can use ANEI and DMAP events to find out, that the DMI plugin can find out about this new node. But if that's not working, we also have what we call a side door, that it's possible to manually add a node to the DMI plugin. So there's different options, but it's this diagram is really what happens next.
Okay, so no matter what the source it'll go through this DMI plugin to add an XNF to CMP.
Correct. Correct. So the interactions are between the DMI plugin and CMP, and that's what we're visualizing here.
And had we defined the interface between this DMI plugin and the network functions?
So the DMI plugin, yes, we have. That's the, so this is, which we have been testing that, and Rahul has been involved in that. So we're using the RESTconf, sorry, the ODL interface, the REST bundle, I understand it's called REST's with an S at the end. That are part of SDNC, and if I understand correctly, that's why I was asking, SDNR can use the same.
Yes, I'll discuss with him offline. I need some more details.
So it's a bit simplified because there is actually a controller in between.
Now I deliberately left out all the other components. I just wanted to focus on the interaction between NCP and DMI plugin. Okay, Niamh, I think we only have a couple of minutes left if you want to show the details of the API. So there's the spreadsheet, by the way, Bruno, so you can download that there.
Yeah, so here's the link to the presentation. This table defines the DMI inventory model and data sync API. So this is the first one is to notify NCMP of a new CM handle. This is what the URI will look like. And the header will be application JSON and the request body will look something like this. So we'll have the DMI plugin, the created CM handles, the updated CM handles and removed CM handles.
Yeah, just to clarify that, it's the same interface method that is used both for the initial, when it comes up the very first time, and future updates, it will use the same REST endpoint. So that's why there's three sections there, created, updated, and removed.
Yeah, it's for new, deleted, or
changed CM handles. One detail that can be highlighted here is that this is actually, in a way, a third endpoint. Because we have the NCMP regular NCMP endpoint for applications, we have the DMI endpoint on the plugin, but this is actually the third one because it's a DMI related endpoint on NCMP itself. Because this is a case where actually the direction is reversed, so it's the plugin that talks to NCMP. So that makes it the third endpoint. And we indicate this with a special name in the path, NCMP hyphen DMI.
Yeah, thanks for clarifying that, Oscar.
So for number two, we have get all registered CM handles for a given plugin. It's a get method in the URI. We specify as a parameter the DMI plugin. So the header is application JSON. The success response is 200 OK. And it will look something like this in the response.
Yeah, just to clarify, this is not step number two in the diagram we just showed. This actually in the diagram, it's an additional method, but it wasn't used in that particular exchange to get the model information. So the other three were, so the first one and the ones that are coming up were explained in that diagram.
Number three, it's get module set for a CM handle. This is a put method. We propose this URI, so we have the CM handle parameter, and then we enter with module sets. The body will look something like this. So we say the operation is read, the CM handle, and the additional properties. And the response is the module set.
Yeah, so the idea is to use the Young library as a normalized format for this information. So it's possible actually that in some cases the say an XNF itself either it supports this natively or the plugin would actually have to generate data in this normalized format. But we think this is a good format to standardize on.
Yeah, I'll add a note on the page on that. Actually, I think that's good to highlight that. Yeah.
Oscar has a comment here about the naming of module sets, or should it be module set because we only set one set is returned. But we, from following the ONAP API design, it's specified to use plural.
I think it's way on the top somewhere.
Yes, plural and using a collection.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit of a, if you call it module,
yeah.
If you call it module sets, it's actually a collection of collection in a way, because set itself indicates it's a multiple sort of a collection of modules. But I mean, this is minor naming, so maybe not. We shouldn't get stuck on that in right now.
And there's another question. So to use a post method for all DMI actions instead of using a put.
Yeah, this is a bit more about the principle because this number three as well as number four is what we call a DMI action. It's not a regular data access. It's a special kind of API. And so the question is if we should have a standard design rule, so to speak, because yes. Here is put and in four it's post, so I'm not sure there's a reason to have different.
Why are you seeing these as an action? I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, it's not a regular data access, and you can see it's also on the URI itself. It is what we call a DMI action, which is a third category if you look at the overall URI format. The difference is that it is the metadata that is provided by the plugin. It's not a regular data access that for data that is modeled necessarily in Young for the XNF. In the special case, it could be because that XNF actually supports a library and you basically make a copy of that. But I think it's important to understand the difference when the DMI actions are actually a special case, which is not a regular data access.
Yeah, I'm sitting on the fence on this a bit. I think it's a get of metadata, but if you really see it as an action, I don't mind so much.
I mean it must be in one of the categories that are part of the overall URI format.
Okay, yeah, no, that's a good point. So yeah, maybe for that reason. And I know Kieran had a point as well, or he was going to get back to us on whether it should be put to post as well, and I think it's related to this. So yeah, maybe we can go for post for now, Niamh, unless we get told otherwise. I don't mind so much, to be honest.
Okay, I'll change that.
And we also have a fourth API, which is post, and the first third one is put, and both are gets. So it's a bit like to make it similar also, it's good to have post.
Thank you. Number four is spaghetti young module source for a list of modules. This is a post method. We have a note here, DMI plugin will make multiple requests to XNF and combine the result in a list. So the body will look something like this, and here is an example of the response.
I just noticed in the response, I need the name and revision are duplicated, I think.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I think we missed that.
As we said, it's a work in progress, but it's getting close to being finalized. We're running a little bit of overtime. If my people seem to be still okay. So any questions on the API interface or the overview? Small comments or minor details that people spot, if you want to review it, can always be done as to the Confluence comments, of course, inline comments.
Yeah, maybe Leaf, if you just share the link in the chat window, like we can check it and check with you later.
It will also be the minutes highlights on the page, but yeah, we'll put it in there. She's putting it in the link now too. That's great. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, I see people are dropping, so maybe we wrap it up as there's no further questions. Just a quick note on next week. Quite a few of us are out. I am not there myself, and there is a bit of a technical issue with setting up the meeting if I'm not there, because I'm the only one that can log in as host four, as ownup four. So, and based on the fact that quite a few people are missing, I'm proposing not to skip the meeting next week, unless anybody is objecting against that. We'll just see each other again. We'll have this meeting at this forum on the 2nd of July. Okay, if there's nothing else, I'll leave you there. Thanks very much, everybody, for your input and the presentations. Niamh. We'll talk again soon.
Sorry, like I have only one question. Like, yep. The support for RAN inventory APIs, we do have, right? RAN inventory and model.
Can you be a little bit more specific what you're looking for?
Maybe I can give you the Jira, CPS 200 it is. I have sent you a mail on this. Maybe you can check.
Oh, apologies. Yes. And I meant to get back to you on that mail and I didn't. I was actually discussing it with Tony. Yeah, I think we need to explain a few things there. I think there might be a bit of misunderstanding. That model will be, that's your secondary model, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, your secondary model will be stored in CPS Core. So it's not part of NCP in that sense. Like any client can store any data in CPS Core. That's the way it's developed. So NCP is storing specific information related to models and stuff that gets directly from the nodes in the inventory. But that's the client-specific model, your secondary model, and that needs to be added to CPS Core, and you can do that manually. Basically, it's a matter of adding an anchor and a data space for that, and then you can query that and manipulate that to CPS Core.
Oh, okay.
I've seen your mail on that, and I was discussing it with Tony. I meant to get back to you on that, but I didn't get a chance yet. Apologies for that.
Okay. No problem. Yeah. Thank you.
I'll do that after the meeting. Thanks for that question, Ayala.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, if there's no other questions, for myself, I'm a week off, by the way, but I think everyone's left on the call knows that at this stage. So have a nice weekend and I'll see you the week afterwards. Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
Have a nice weekend. Bye.